Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How you doing? I hope you're well. I'm doing all right. Got back to teaching classes this week. And it's tough. Let me tell you, it's tough coming off that vacation. And then you got to come in and you got to teach and be, you know, conscious and stuff. Man, it is hard. But it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Got the kids going on Edgar Allan Poe this semester. In one class, the other class is doing Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. Both very good. Looking forward to this semester. Should be good fun, provided the kids do all their homework, which I'm sure they are. If they're listening to this podcast, do your homework. But I don't think any of them do, which might be a good idea. I don't know. But I hope that whatever you're doing it well, and you're having fun doing it. So, as I said, this month, or the remainder of this month, we're going to do Science Month. Why, you may ask? Why do Science Month? The answer is because I can. Because it's my podcast, and that was the crazy, weird inspiration that came into my brain last week. So we're going to do Science Month. And I told you that this week we're going to talk about, pretty much everything from somebody who's not really known for being a scientist. And in a wonderful miracle of timing, just as I was recording this podcast, I got a guest. Not only did I get a guest, ladies and gentlemen, I got a correct guess from one of our reigning champions, my brother. Yes, Paul correctly guessed that it is A Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson. The rest of you, I understand if you were a bit shaken, if perhaps you felt the need to be silent after you heard the marvelous audio quality that I brought in last week with my whole new set of toys. Yes, I'm still having fun playing with it. I would love to do more recording, honestly, and I've been doing... Actually, I went back to LibriVox, and if you're interested in audiobooks and things to listen to, other than this podcast, of course... you could not go wrong by going to LibriVox.org. It is a volunteer public domain audiobook website. Basically, you get public domain texts, and people, volunteers all over the world, read them, they put them together and make them available. So I highly recommend it. I went back and did a little bit of recording for them just so I could play with my new toy. Yes. So for the rest of you who did not get it correct, I understand. These things happen. You're shocked and overawed. But my brother got it right. It is A Short History of Nearly Everything. Bill Bryson is famous for his books A Walk in the Woods, where he travels parts of the Appalachian Trail, and Mother Tongue, which is a wonderful, wonderful book about the history of English. It's really good. I enjoy it greatly. This one's about science. It's called A Short History of Nearly Everything. And the book absolutely lives up to its title, except maybe the short part. The hardcover clocks in at 544 pages, which includes the notes and the index, which is quite luggable. I suppose, however, when compared to the geologic ages that preceded our brief existence on this planet Earth, the book and the years it took to write it are indeed quite short. So in those 544 pages, however, we do explore everything. From the dawn of time up until the dawn of human history, from the infinitely tiny hearts of quarks to the infinitely huge scale of the universe. Biology, chemistry, physics, astronomy, geology, paleontology, whatever your science of choice is, it's in this book. And even if you're thinking, well, science isn't really my thing, I have good news for you. It will be when you're finished. One of the things that makes Bryson an excellent writer is simply his ability to make you enjoy reading his work, no matter what the topic is. As I said, he's most well known for his travel books, Notes from a Big Country, Walk in the Woods, and Mother Tongue. And when I first read him, he struck me as a more literate version of Dave Barry, a very intelligent guy with a fantastic sense of humor. No matter what he writes, you really can't help but enjoy it. This book, then, must have been a massive challenge for him. He admits right in the beginning that before he started this book, he pretty much had no idea what he was going to find out. He wasn't a scientist or a naturalist, and he had no idea how it was we knew, for example, that the Earth had an iron core, or how we knew the universe was expanding, or why uranium is so easy to split up. I mean, how do we know the continents drift across the face of the globe, or that we're really cousins to chimpanzees? He started from a state of ignorance and spent 3 years removing himself from that state. And that in and of itself is admirable. There seems to be an unfortunate trend in thinking these days that science is too hard for the normal person to understand. In some cases, people believe that if it is indeed too hard for the normal person to understand, why then it must be impossible to understand. This is what's known as the argument from ignorance fallacy, and it's something that's very easy to fall prey to. I mean, after all, no one likes to admit that they don't know things, and if your pride is bigger than your conscience, it might be all too easy to assume that if you can't understand it, then of course nobody can. Thus, the whole intelligent designer nonsense and the continuing battles now in the 21st century over whether or not evolution is the process by which we can explain the fantastic diversity of life on this planet is happening, and I can't believe it, and I don't understand what's wrong with these people! Thank you for your patience. We are currently experiencing technical difficulties and will resume normal service shortly. Please stand by. I'm sorry about that. The neurochemical processes that allowed my distant ancestors to fight off predators, also known as the famous fight or flight reflex, tends to manifest itself these days as blasphemy and shouting. I'll try to keep it down from now on. And if you're like me, and you may very well be, statistically speaking, and you've been a dabbler in science for a long time, you will still learn something new. Not the least of what you'll learn is what the greatest scientific minds of our time were like as people. Bryson does his best to bring out the humanity of people like Newton and Lowell, Einstein, Kelvin, and, you know, everyone else. There's a whole lot of fighting, lying, deceiving, backstabbing that brought us to where we are today, and if they had taught me that in science class when I was a kid, I probably would have gotten better grades. In fact, one of the most interesting things about this book is that it's not so much a book about science as it's a book about scientists. By looking at the people who figured out how the universe works, we learned about why science works the way it does, and sometimes doesn't, and get a real sense of how human understanding progresses. There are these flashes of insight and stubborn refusals to see what is plainly true. There are lost geniuses and shameless opportunists, missed chances and serendipitous discoveries. Science, in short, is a human endeavor, with all the glamour and tarnish that comes with it. By emphasizing the humanity of the men and women who have driven science forward, Bryson is able to let us see our place in the process. What's more, Bryson takes great care to point out the areas where we have failed, or at least not yet succeeded. Cells, for example, are these baffling organic machines that outperform human-made devices by an outlandish margin. We don't know as much as we think about prehistory. Our fossil record is far more spotty than the Natural History Museum would have you believe, mainly because fossilization requires very specific conditions, not the least of which is a bit of good luck. There could be entire branches of the tree of life that we don't know because they had the misfortune to occupy an environment that didn't promote fossilization. We don't even know how many species of life are on Earth right now, or how many we've lost. The history of humanity is twisted and confusing, with no clear answers as to where we come from, how we arose, and how we spread across the globe. There are so many mysteries to be solved, so few people available to solve them. If you're not a science nerd, you'll still enjoy the book. Remember, up until he wrote it, Bryson was one of you. His style is very readable, and he guides you very deftly from one topic to the next, illustrating a very important point. Science is all connected. There is no discrete boundary between, say, chemistry and biology, no matter what the chemists and biologists might tell you. It's just a fuzzy blur where we pass from one to the other. And the greatest advances in our knowledge of how the universe works have come from the most unlikely places. And sometimes, knowing why atoms behave the way they do can help understand why the universe behaves the way it does. Yeah, learning is hard, but when you're done, you are rewarded with a new sense of understanding and awe about how the universe works. And honestly, that wins over ignorance any day. So let me give you a quote from the book. There's a lot of good quotes from this. It was hard to choose, I have to admit, but I picked this one because I think it encapsulates the reason why he wrote the book. He says, "We live on a planet that has a more or less infinite capacity to surprise. What reasoning person could possibly want it any other way?" And really, I chose this book to start with because it is sort of an omnibus book of science. And most of the popular science books that I really like tend to take this point of view. They look at the overall science of things. The more specific stuff, you know, it's okay. I've got a couple geology books and a couple of paleontology books. And they're all right. They tend to make me a little bit sleepy from time to time. But a book like A Short History of Nearly Everything, it's more fun. And I think you'll enjoy reading it. I think you'll have fun with it. And it's not the book that you have to sit down and read cover to cover, heavens no. You can sit down, you can read a bit, you can put it away, pick it up later. It's there. The science isn't going anywhere. But it really does help bring out not only the personalities of the science and the work that's gone into knowing what we know today, but also why people study science and why people get obsessed with it, like some people I know. So that is it for this week. Next week, we're going to look at a specific scientist. As I said, scientists are people, and people have their flaws, and people have their quirks, and people have their weirdnesses, and very few people in modern science have quite as many quirks and weirdnesses as this guy does. Not only was he involved in some of the most delicate quantum mechanics work, won a Nobel Prize for it, but he was also an expert safecracker, he was one heck of a bongo player, and he loved the ladies, or at least the ladies loved him. So, tell me who that scientist is and which book I'll probably be reading next week, and you win a full set of quarks. Yes, delivered straight to your door, a full set of quarks. So, that is about it for this week, I think. I'd love to just keep on talking and keep playing with my microphone, but you have places to go. I have, I don't know, websites to visit, videos to watch. Yeah, I'm in for the night, so... Thank you very much for listening. As always, I do appreciate it. And, as always, I hope I will see you next week. The text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.